The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. No Lance. Lance off for the rest of this week. Lazy. And Cody Stutes in for the next couple of days here on ESPN 97.5. What's up, Cody Stutes?
I'm having a blast. I'm ready to do scouting things on anything that's not football. Like, I can scout low-class fast food.
What? How about, what? Can you scout the patty melt at Whataburger?
Oh, just solid base, great special sauce, the grilled onions grilled to perfection.
What round? What round are you taking it in?
That's a top 10 pick, easy.
Easy. That's going on to a Hall of Fame career.
No doubt. I don't think
there's any question.
No doubt.
Del Olale is here as well on ESPN 97.5. Del, how was your ride to work this morning?
It was good until I got to Buffalo Speedway.
And what happened there, Del?
Tire blowout at Buffalo Speedway.
Tire blowout. So you just changed it with your spare?
Nah, man. I don't have my spare blew out.
What?
Wait a minute.
So your spare just blew out yesterday?
No, we're probably talking about a year and a half ago.
A year and a half. So it was, you couldn't possibly have had any time to change replace that.
And I was motivated to do it a couple weeks ago, but they didn't have a rim that fit my car. So I was like, screw it. I tried.
And now what?
And now my car is currently at an MTB near here, and I will walk over there and get it changed.
By near here, how far would that be?
It's probably a walk of probably maybe 25, 30 minutes.
Yeah, but see, did you didn't walk? I went and picked you up. You know why?
Why?
Because I didn't want you walking through the mean streets of the Galleria.
Or you just needed me to be here.
Do you think that there could have been any gang warfare going on?
No, that's one of the reasons.
With you walking and it ain't in your hood.
No, that's why I'm glad it happened around Buffalo Speedway so I could limp it to the Richmond NTB because if it happened in the Kincaid area where that school is located, there would have been trouble.
There could have been trouble.
Yeah, so I'm glad it happened where it did.
Seriously? You wanted to walk the mean streets of the Galleria? That's what you wanted?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know things are tough around there, but I feel comfortable doing that as opposed to where it could have happened, like where your kids went to school.
Where my kids went to school, where they have to play day games?
Yeah, because the gang violence, they can't play games at night.
The Kincaid School,
yeah,
by the way.
That St. John's, the Kincaid School game.
That rivalry?
Yeah. Back in 19...
Through the metal detectors and everything, yep. Just make sure.
Back in 1991, the gunfire... Kind of changed the way they had to do things around
there. Was no gunfire at the Kincaid School St. John's game.
You weren't
game.
There for the 91 game. No, I did my research.
I'm pretty sure. As a matter of fact, I know. There was no gunplay.
You weren't even here in 91, okay. Were you? I did the research for you.
There was no research. No, that never happened. The Kincaid School's not happy with you right now, making claims of such claims.
Call yourself the Kincaid School. Expect some heat. That's all I'm saying.
So let me ask you this question. If you start out 11-14, do you think you're going to win 60 games at any point?
The math on that's pretty funny.
How does the math on that work?
The math on that is pretty funny because if you're going to try to win 60 games, you can only lose a total of 22 games.
Correct.
Correct. So the Rockets already have 14 losses. So now I went to Texas Tech. Didn't teach a lot of math there. Took remedial math twice, okay? But I know that you can't lose that many more games, and the Rockets seem to be on track lose more than
Are they eligible to win 60 games still?
Yeah, they're eligible.
All right, then. So 49-8 about math.
How's 49-8?
What does the math say? Are they still eligible?
Yes.
All
yes.
Right, then.
No, absolutely.
In fact, and they're eligible to win how many games now?
Maybe more.
Yeah.
Maybe more. We don't know. You know what? They could go 57-0. We don't know. Okay? Daryl Morey knows, though, when you start 11-14, that you are eligible, as a matter of fact, maybe even likely with Coach D'Antoni, to finish with 60 wins.
No, I think there's been a lot of teams that have been 11-14 and have turned things around. Coach had a couple tough starts in his career that he's talked to us and the team about. And one of those years, we went on to win 60 games. So you never know what's going to happen. We'll just keep working hard. We have the ability to do it. We've just got to put it out on the floor now.
That's courtesy of Channel 26. Mark Berman put that out on Twitter. The only problem with that soundbite right there was that it's not true.
I have never been so secure in my job that I can literally bend over and talk out of my posterior like that.
Whoa.
Just incredible.
Well, you're doing a show with a guy who's that secure.
Well, listen, I talk out of my posterior all the time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's not a big accomplishment around here, Cody.
Yeah, okay? that big rough start for Mike D'Antoni when he was coaching the Suns when they started 18-7 and won 61 games.
Okay, and his other seasons?
Or that rough start when he was coaching the Suns in 04-05 and they started 22-3. How did he get them to 62 wins that year?
We're not going to let facts get in the way here, okay? Now, in Daryl's defense, he did have an 11-14 start. In which he had a winning record.
He sure did. When he coached the Lakers in 2012-2013, and they finished a whopping 45-37.
That I would take right now.
That's not 60 wins, though.
That's not 60 wins. But I would take that right now. And let's in fairness, Daryl may just, coach may have told him that. So who knows? But here's the deal is, yeah, that's just not true. He hasn't won 60 games after an 11-14 start. That would be a pretty amazing finish, 49-8, Darryl's, when you're looking as bad as you are right now.
Daryl said rough start. A rough start could have meant 0-2 in Phoenix.
Yeah,
who knows?
Yeah, that's true.
Who knows what he meant by rough start?
Yeah, right. I guess rough start. 11-14, though, is more than a rough start. 11-14 is next to last in the West.
Considering they were 21-4 last year after 25, yeah, pretty rough start.
Yeah, they're well over a month behind their loss pace. You know, they didn't have their 14th loss. Their 14th loss. They went on a run after their 13th loss.
Their 14th loss last year did not come till March 9th.
Yes, but their 13th loss was January 25th. They went on an 18-game run or something.
They went on the big tear. Yeah,
yeah. So between their 13th and 14th, between their 13th and 14th this year was one game. Yeah, that was one game. Last year it was 19 games.
Just get on the big tear now. Start it tonight.
So, yeah, this is right. Like, this is unbelievable. Honestly, I would take 45-37 right now.
So I just 45-37. I went to look just to see if that would make the playoffs in last year's Western Conference. It would not. You'd be the 10th team in the West if you finished 45-37. 45-37 would make you the 10th team in the West.
But what kind of pace right now is the league on? Is it kind of thing?
Yeah, that's a good point. I just checked against last year just to see what those teams were, and that had been 10th best in the West. Yeah, I mean, not that much better. I mean, you could probably sneak into the playoffs at that record.
Well, they are on pace right now to be better. I mean, the Mavericks are 14-11. Extrapolate that they would be 9 games over 500, which would be, yeah, because we're about a third of the season, right? 25 games. Actually, they would be better than 9 games, so the Rockets wouldn't make the playoffs right now. On pace, anyway. The Mavericks are on pace to finish better than an 8 games over 500.
But John, Mike D'Antoni's done it before. I mean, kind of, sort of, but not really.
Well, in all fairness, I guess it's a much better team. I don't know. I don't know anymore. It's just so unbelievable. And it's almost like it's almost identical to 2015, in which they came off the Western Conference Finals and then a horrific start that you're like, what the hell? I mean, so everybody's so excited about the season. This season, not so much. I wrote a Sports Map article and said, what is wrong with all you people? You lost Trevor Ariza and Bob Mute. That takes away any chance at a championship. Why are all and they pick up DeMarcus Cousins, who isn't going to play for however long. And oh, by the way, are you sure that he's going to fit in there with the way that they run the ball and how fast they play? DeMarcus Cousins just could be an anchor in that offense. And we'll find out whether or not that's true. He's heading to the D League, or G League rather, it looks like. But the fact that, you know, you just lost a couple of guys and all of a sudden everybody's poo-pooing the season and that the Rockets have absolutely no chance, I thought that was stupid. And I guess everybody was right. And I was stupid. But I just can't believe what these players... I can't believe that Chris Paul has fallen off this drastically and 25 games into this $160 million deal that Chris Paul is an albatross. Because... honestly, can you think of anyone that would take that contract right now?
He's playing like you expected him to play at the end of the contract, at the front of the contract. Right. And I mean, try to get rid of him. Like,
there's no chance.
Tillman's not signing off on that. You just told Tillman, hey, we're going to spend all this money on this guy, probably push, you know, close to all those extra special taxes you got to pay for and everything. And then you're going to be like, oh, hey, this didn't work out. We're going to try to trade him. Like, nobody's taking it, like you said.
But nobody would take that deal.
I mean, even if you wanted to say Chris Paul has, you know, he was hurt, and that's part of the slow start, the rest of the team doesn't look anywhere near good enough that even if Chris Paul was healthy and good, that you would be competing in a Western Conference that is as deep as it looks this year.
Well, my hope is that you know, that Chris Paul isn't healthy.
Yeah, he better be hurt.
Yeah, right. If he's not hurt, they're big trouble. Big trouble, because this team is, like I said, is going to be saddled with that contract, and it is going to be an albatross around everybody. And honestly, you know, Tillman is not a guy that is going to be very patient, and especially when you're spending $160 million of his money after he spent $2.2 billion on this team, that he's going to say, that's okay. That's all right. Daryl, so you missed it by $160 million. That's okay. That's not going to be okay. I think the first bullet's going to head towards D'Antoni, if you want to know the truth. But Daryl better have some big moves up his sleeve for this trade deadline.
Do you trust him to make those moves?
Oh, yes,
though?
Yes. Daryl Morey's a smart, sharp guy. He's a basket. I mean, come on. Daryl Morey has been really, really, really good.
The tough part for me would be is those players that you live in the margins with, those the seventh, eighth, ninth guy, like the guys he went to replace those guys, they're terrible. Michael Carter Williams can't get on the floor. Yeah. Like Carmelo, like still on the team, but like not on the team. You know, that thing was a disaster. Like, that was what Daryl Morey decided to do. Like, when it goes fast. You got to wonder if he lost his touch.
I don't know about lost his touch. I'm just amazed that I just don't know that there's anybody stepping up in that organization right now and going, what? I don't think that there's anybody that's challenging him. Anybody saying, why? Why would we want Carmelo? That's not what we're doing here. Why would we want Michael Carter Williams? He's the exact opposite of the kind of player that we're looking for. What happened to all the analytics and the 3-point shooting and the field goal percentage? And what that it's either a layup or a three. And those guys are that's not and oh, by the way, all the defense that they played last year, the improvement that they made defensively, and don't tell me that it's all Jeff Bezdelic. It's not. It's the kind of player that they got. What the hell is going on? No one said to Daryl, this is a, Carmelo's a bad idea. What are we doing? I mean, honestly, I don't, you know, they got into a, I was around that Rockets team with Rudy T and Carol Dawson and Jim Boylan, who's now having a lot of problems in Chicago. And not only did they all start to think alike, they all started talking alike. I mean, they talked at Rudy's pace, stopped, the same pauses and everything. And it was like there was a groupthink mentality there that just and that's why it fell apart. Oh, yeah, let's bring in Eddie Johnson and Charles Barkley, and let's give Matt Maloney a 17-year, $17 million deal. And let's and all of these decisions that you're just like, well, that just that I know you want to hang on and you want to try to make extend this as long as possible, but these are bad decisions. You're just getting older and you're not getting any better. And that's exactly what's happened to this team right now.
Really smart people usually have people to check them. And nobody's checking Daryl
Morey
right now.
Nobody. Well, I guess, because like I said, I talked to somebody last season when Carmelo was really stinking it up in Oklahoma City, and he said, "Man, how great is that? We didn't get Carmelo. How awesome!" And then they go and get Carmelo. What? Whoops. Anyway, they're not going to win 60 games. I don't think. I'm going to bet on not winning 60 games.
That's a pretty safe bet.
Thank you. But at least I'm, you know what?
I may follow you with that.
You're gonna take that too.
Yep.
I don't know if I can get that on mybookie.ag, but you know, talking like this, I might get HR calling me. I'm pretty sure, and because you know we can't be denigrating our teams. Here's the deal: is if you need HR help, if you need payroll help, all you got to do is go to hrp.net. hrp.net. 281-880-6525. We're heading towards the holidays here. I don't know that you can make the transition quickly enough. You might be able to. I know a business here that I'm really, really close to, and they are transitioning over with HR&P, and it's smooth, it's seamless at the beginning of the year. But you can still get it done. You know what? There's just some paperwork, the taxes and everything else, a little bit of work that you have to do. If you do it in January, that's no big deal. It's not a big deal. You can still get that done. But here's the deal. What are you waiting for? If your payroll company isn't great, if they're not doing your taxes, if they're not doing a great job with your with all your investments and with your insurance and everything else, why are you with them? Go with a company that you are going to love. I'm telling you. HRP.net, 281-880-6525.
Stream us on your car Bluetooth with the ESPN 97.5 app.
You must do it.
Brought to you by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Mmm, steaks and Bluetooth. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Did you guys see that Francesco Molinari was named the European Player of the Year? Yeah, it's kind of a big deal. I don't know if you guys were aware of that. Then there's a story here, Dell. Maybe we can play this. Oh, we're going to play John versus Genius later in the show?
That's right.
10:30. John versus Genius. You haven't heard that, John versus Genius?
Oh, I have. I listened to it last week.
You heard it. Well, yeah, I have to put Genius in its place. And
I thought you made a very astute observation about his friend being late. You got to be on time.
Yeah, how about if we're going to buy some drugs, we got to be on time with them.
Doesn't that balance out by him thinking one of his friends was named Shiz, though?
Well, that was 2 weeks ago. His name could have been Shiz because he was waiting on all the Shiz.
Well, I think the Sheck West song was about his late friend Ali was 2 weeks ago as well. I think last week we did.
It seems like there's a lot of late drug dealers around.
Well, last week.
How about we be on prompt? How about we
last week was about Plug Walk.
Punctual.
Last week was Plug Walk, where we were trying to figure out what the Plug Walk meant.
And right.
You found some 5K and no, you're walking around like you had a stroke. Don't do that anymore. We found out a plug walk was something that happened in Jamaica where there's a plug someplace. At least someone on Urban Dictionary said that.
That said there's a plug?
Like Jamaica, there's a 5K run, and the special part about the 5K run.
Oh, right, right. Butt plug.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, the kids are going to school, John.
Oh, the kids are going to school, but here's the thing is the kids need to know it's not just about drug dealing, okay? It's about punctuality. Okay? So let's try to be punctual out there. I think that's kind of a big deal. There is a major story brewing right now. There is some discord in the NBA, and I'm afraid that it may tear the league apart. Apparently, some NBA cheerleaders are none too happy with the way that they've been treated by NBA teams. Story here by Abby Haglidge. Says NBA dancers reveal decades-long culture of brainwashing, unfair pay, and eating disorders. There's a young lady named Lauren Harrington who was working for the Milwaukee Bucks for 1 year, 2013-2014. She was 18 years old, and apparently her coach used to put her in a small broom closet and made her sit there for hour or more.
Did Mike Leach take over the Bucks power dancer's job?
See, this is tried and true, and I don't know why this is a problem here. Put her in a broom closet and think about how she was maybe a little bit overweight. Okay? You know what? These overweight cheerleaders, NBA cheerleaders, need to be stopped, actually. Didn't they get Anna Megan Rayleigh fired?
I don't know how that worked.
Didn't one get her fired?
I don't
remember. She made a comment about the fat Oklahoma City cheerleader.
Yes,
and one of her posts was on Instagram. Where was it?
I think it was on a website.
A 610's website.
Yeah,
and she got fired for what?
Well, did 610 get her fired, or did the woman say, "Hey, that's not nice," and then they responded?
No, I think 610 just overreacted. And listen, let's take a look. Before we make judgments, okay?
Was Anna Megan correct?
Anna Megan was dead on this one.
I don't remember. I didn't see the woman. So.
And apparently, this young Lauren says that she instructed a dancer to put on her spandex uniform, her boss did, in order to perform a jiggle test in front of the team. She'd come up and grab underneath my butt or the side of my belly. She'd be like, lose 5 pounds by tomorrow and you'll be fine. Okay, and?
I had to lose 5 pounds in a day at high school wrestling all the time. Lose five pounds, you can't wrestle, Cody. Okay.
Cody.
Yeah.
But it might be a little easier for you to drop.
It feels like there's a lot. The margin of error for you is different than for her.
When you're 115, 5 is a lot. When you're...
Whatever you were.
Whatever you are, it's... It's a little easier.
I was a lot smaller in high school.
Okay. All right. I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying.
Things have gone south
since. Like, I always tell Yanni. He goes, yeah, I lost 10 pounds. That's a deck chair off the Queen Mary. Come on, Yanni. Let's go.
That woman loses 5 pounds. She's going to take a hit.
Yeah. I mean, she's got
to.
You know what she's got to do to lose 5 pounds?
In a day?
Of course, I don't know.
Cut off a foot?
Well, we got to perform the jiggle test.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just not sure what the problem is here.
Well, one of the problems, according to Lauren, is after they, have to go through their beauty routines with spray tans and manicures, which the team doesn't cover, she effectively made like $3 to $4 an hour.
And Dell, are you okay?
What?
How many games do you watch? And that's working for you. So how much money are you making an hour? Are you complaining? Are you suing Mr. Gao?
No. I'm not.
Is that coming?
Mr. Gal, no, I'm not. I'm not suing you. I don't have any plans to. But I'm not. I would have a TV anyway. I would have cable anyway. So it's not.
She'd go and get her nails done anyway. She'd get her hair done anyway.
Would she get a spray tan?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't know Lauren's proclivities. If she wants a spray tan or not.
Non-cheerleaders get spray tans too.
So I'm aware.
If she wasn't a dancer, she'd just be rolling around in sweats, no makeup.
I'm not saying she'd
hair be, all in a like a ponytail all
I'm,
the time.
I'm not saying she. That's what she would do, but I don't know how often. I don't know her beauty routine, but that is what she is claiming. That the that the beauty routines, including spray tans and manicures, made it so she was only making $3 to $4 an hour.
Mm. Well, listen, there's work to be done on the outside, okay?
What about the inside?
That's where the weight loss comes in.
That's all we're worried is what she looks like, though. That's it, okay? Not about her inner beauty. No one cares. She's dancing. She's an NBA dancer. She's supposed to look nice.
She was left dehydrated and starving.
Well, okay. Then stop with the double cheeseburgers at Whataburger. Okay.
They have Whataburgers in Milwaukee?
No, they don't. They probably got White Castles. Colders. How many do you think she was throwing down?
How many sliders she was eating?
How many sliders do you think she was throwing down?
Curds.
I don't feel like Lauren.
Oh, yeah. In Milwaukee, push them away. Let's go. We're trying to look good out here for the Bucks. For the Bucks fans. That's what we're trying to do here.
My question would be, and this is a legitimate question, I'm not trying to be like funny about this. Did they expect to make this like a career? Like you have to know 90% of the jobs you take, you have a really good idea of what people in that career make.
I don't know what their thought is. I guess they just thought they wouldn't be, in their eyes, abused mentally and physically and being paid $3 to $4 an hour, which is below minimum wage, I guess is what they thought. I don't think anyone goes in there I would hope not, go in there thinking, I'm going to make this how I support myself for life. It's like being a person who works at a fast food chain.
No,
you don't go in when you're 22 or 18 through 22 thinking that's how you support yourself.
That's not what you're here for.
No.
You know what you're there for? You're trying to find that rich guy that's got the front row seats.
See, I don't want to.
Well, that's something to shoot for. Okay, not that old guy that looks like Gandalf the Wizard at the Rockets playoff games. Yeah, no, you don't want that guy.
Gandalf, you're doing Gandalf a disservice. That guy looks older. Gandalf's like, what the hell, man?
Hey, I'm looking good over here.
I got you through childhood. Remember how many times Gandalf you read my books? White?
Yeah. Really? Remember how I came back looking? The beard was all nice.
Yeah, and the robe was all clean.
Yeah, I don't know. Her story then and now ran in stark contrast to the public images of NBA dancers, 20 or so per team, who seem to ooze effortless glamour and beauty, elite athletes in their own right. Slow down. Okay. Next, okay, because I know that there's a few places where there's dancing going on where they're considered elite athletes in their own right. And they can any of these girls spin on poles? I don't know.
On poles?
Pardon me?
Never mind.
That's all I'm saying.
I did a quick search just for Mavericks, just because they've had the disaster of handling inside things. Yep, Mavericks dancer. 3 years. She was like, yeah, found a girl passed out in the bathroom. What?
So, anyway, this is a big deal going on here. And
what's your final thought, John?
I'm hoping that these cheerleaders get what they deserve.
Well, the Bucks cheerleaders, they were there was a payout by the Bucks,
$250,000
to roughly 40 dancers.
Yeah. Jiggle test. Darren says jiggle test. The cheerleader getting paid argument in pro sports is so ridiculous. I think they deserve to be paid, but I don't know. You know, I think maybe a little bit more. I don't know.
I haven't seen.
But this whole thing that about them, well, they just want us to look good. Yeah. Yeah. That's what you want in your cheerleader. Sorry. Sorry, but that's part of the job. It's like I want in my professor. You know what I want in my surgeon? I want him to be really smart and know what the hell he's doing. You know what I want in my cheerleader? I want her to look good. I'm sorry.
I want my artist to make a really nice painting.
Yes. I want my guitarist to be able to actually play. I don't know. That's all. That's what your job is. And that's the job. Everyone wants to look at you. That's the job. So this whole thing about, shaming me into looking good. What?
Well, I don't know if shame needs to be done, but yeah, you have standards, and if they don't reach those standards, you fire them, but I don't know if the jiggle test is where you should have gone.
Jiggle test. No. Saran wrap. No. We need saran wrap.
No.
Okay?
You have your requirements. They don't fit it. You fire them.
Well, that's okay. So, okay, so it's better to. Sorry, you got to go.
Well, it's better. Beat it. It's better than this coming out for the NBA. Say, hey, these are what this is what we ask of you. If you don't reach these standards, you got to go. Not let me wrap you in gorilla tape.
Well, do you want to be on the team? Get some Saran wrap. Mm. All right. What do guys do? Okay, put parachutes on and run. And what did you have to do to lose weight in wrestling?
Oh, trash bags.
Yes.
Well, yeah, like okay. 15 layers
Cody
of clothing.
Cody can wear a trash bag, then why can't a cheerleader wear Saran wrap?
I don't know. I don't know.
No, I did. The wrestlers, at high school wrestlers, I mean, it is unbelievable what you have to do.
Oh, they're
unbelievable.
The people that actually had like cut like legit yes. weight.
I mean, they're
psychopaths.
They're throwing up right before they yes. get weighed. They're running in, you know, the sweats and Saran. And you see them in garbage bags.
Like chewing like 20 pieces of gum just to like keep spitting out saliva so you can just get like that extra ounce out.
That's unbelievable. See, Del, you got to pay the price. You want to be an NBA cheerleader? Pay the price.
I don't want to be one.
Can we have a jiggle test at the Christmas party? Yeah, maybe. Okay.
For who?
If the ladies want to come and do a jiggle test.
There's going to be like 80 to 1 guys to ladies. What are you talking
about? Well, whoever.
About?
I mean.
Jiggle test for dudes.
We're not doing any jiggle test for dudes, no. Cody, you want to do a jiggle test?
I'd win. I would pass.
Or lose. I don't know.
Well, I don't know which one it is.
I don't know which way. Do you want to see a jiggle? Do you not want to see a jiggle? I don't know.
I don't know which one we're doing. Hey, it's 732 ESPN 97.5. Time to talk about Thrive Plus. Thrive Plus. Now, this holiday season, you're going to have a couple of cocktails. I met with the guys from Coors Light yesterday. Had a couple of cocktails, but just a couple, you know. And then we're done and went. But you drop a couple of Thrives, and you won't even know that you had any cocktails the day before. And that's just because really, really, really smart people have designed something that is going to make you feel better, 50% better the next day. And if not 50% better, then you get your money back. That's how sure. A money-back guarantee on Thrive Plus. DecideThrive.com. They're right here in Houston, so you will get you. If you order by 3 o'clock today, it'll be here tomorrow. Are you having any libations this holiday season? You don't want to wake up Christmas morning feeling like crap. What you want to wake up is as good as you can possibly be. And that's what you do when you get Thrive Plus. DecideThrive.com. That's DecideThrive.com.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Fresh.
Yo. I go by the name of Dane Jones. I'm with my crew. And we gonna show y'all what we be snacking on. You dig?
Okay.
Hot Cheetos and Takis. Hot Cheetos and Takis. I can't get enough of these Hot Cheetos and Takis. Got my fingers stained red.
I figured out my sports map article this week, though. NBA cheerleaders.
Shut up and dance.
To who?
Shut up and dance. Hey, fatty, shut up and dance.
No, that's not what I'm going to say. That's not it. But it's insulting to all cheerleaders past, okay? Listen, I wanted to be an NFL quarterback. You know what? I couldn't. You know why? I wasn't good enough. If you're not pretty enough and you dance well enough, then you're not an NBA cheerleader.
No, but they've already been hired, so they were.
But
pretty
they were
enough
they were pretty enough. But well then if enough. They wait a minute, here's the deal, okay? If you're an NFL defensive lineman or Aaron Colvin, you know what they did? They brought him in and gave him a lot of money. You know what? He can't get on the field anymore. You know why? Because he's not as good as they thought.
Yeah.
And if you're not as good as you thought, then sit over here.
Well, that's what I said. Either fire them if they're not as good as they thought. Don't. Aaron Colvin's not subjected.
He's not fired. You know what
that's
he
my
is?
Point.
Until he gets better, he sits over here. He sits next to the coach.
And he's also not being, you know, shamed and, I guess, allegedly abused.
Oh, no, but he's got to work hard. You know what they do? They push you. You know what coaches do? They push you harder.
They do push
you. And you know what? Sorry, ladies, But when you're not playing well, look, Jim Boylan has 2.5 hour practices.
And look how well that's going.
Well, that's because of how soft these youngsters are. Mm-hmm. You know what? Back in the day, they used to have 3 and 4 hour practices. You know what they did? They did it.
Or died. One of the two.
No, they didn't die.
Some of them.
The Boston Celtics, they talked about Red Auerbach's practices. Good luck. Have fun there. You know what? But you know what they did? They won championships. Do you want to win a championship, NBA cheerleader?
Well, they're also playing against five other teams, and they're all like little short white dudes.
What
is that? Bill Russell dominated because
as soon as they got Bill Russell, they won it all.
Yeah, Bill Russell dominated because no one could compete with him.
Did you see have you been watching Love and Basketball, A Love Story?
I have not.
It's awesome.
I've seen pieces here and there.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, they talk about, you know, he was drafted by Atlanta. And they didn't want him because they didn't want any African Americans on their team. What a day. Well, back in the day.
Kind of and blew guess that what? One.
How'd that work out for him? How'd that work out for you? And now you're still Atlanta. How'd that work out?
So you're telling me the Hawks would be the preeminent team in the East if they just decided to not be horrible racist?
Right. If they weren't racist, they would have won. Congratulations. Congratulations, Atlanta. For that. But yeah, that, you know.
I'm sure that 6'4 white center did a real good job guarding Bill Russell.
That was actually, no, you know what? They talk about it. He had Wilt Chamberlain, and there were other guys.
There was one other guy.
No, back in the day, there were more guys.
Two other guys.
Well, George Mikan, but he was on the end, but the back end of his. No, there were other guys back in the day. They just, you know, nobody was as good as the Celtics. Celtics did it better than anybody. But you're right. I mean, well, they figured John Havlicek might be good while the other teams didn't think so. How'd that work out? But let's go. Let's pick it up. All right. So we got to be better.
So you're going to spend about 500 words on why female cheerleaders should, you know, suck it up. You think that's the way you should approach things?
I think we should approach things like, you know what? Am I good enough or am I not good enough? And can I make it in the NBA? Am I doing what I need to do? Because in all of sports, that's what the deal is. If you ain't good enough, guess what?
I'm almost uncomfortable and you haven't even written the thing yet. It's like, I don't really care. I don't feel sorry for Fred. I think he's out of the country anyway. So
yeah.
I don't know how much he's going to have to deal with it. I actually kind of feel sorry for Josh.
I don't, you know what?
I know you don't care.
Josh is going to be like, oh God, we're going to bury this one.
Yeah. Don't tweet. Don't promote this.
No.
Put this right next to Cody's videos.
John has some woke thoughts on NBA cheerleaders. Okay. Nah, not really. And please tell me that this is not true. Houston's kicking the tires on J.R. Smith.
They did it before.
I swear to God, what the hell is going on there? What is going on? J.R. Smith, is that what it's come to? Oh my God. Oh my God. Carmelo, Michael Carter Williams. Is Corey Brewer dead? Can't we bring him back?
Corey Brewer's like a legit street free agent right now, is he not?
Why not?
How is he not on this team?
So he's not dead? Let's go. Because that's the kind of guy you're bringing in.
Well, Daryl Morey, he's already got one Corey Brewer, and he doesn't play him, and Michael Carter Williams. So now he wants to go get a shooter that is a malcontent.
Right.
J.R. Smith.
Well, there it is. There's the answer, J.R. Smith. What? Oh, my God. Talk about desperation. Oh wow! I guess they are desperate right now.
I don't think there are any answers.
At least he can hit a shot.
There's no answers. Not 25 games into an NBA season.
No, I mean, I don't know what move could be made, what superstar or what even star player is going to be acquired, because you had your shot and you decided that Eric Gordon and PJ Tucker were more important to this ball club than Jimmy Butler. Now that's fine, but it hasn't worked out so far. And Eric Gordon's in The Athletic telling the world that he doesn't think the players are being used right. So that's another thing. So you had your shot at the disgruntled star. Is there another one that's going to come up that you think can help you kind of rejuvenate the season?
No, it's going to be a trade with somebody that wants to get rid of a contract or but a J.R. Smith? Holy cow. That is just simply amazing to me. It fits right into this trend. The type of player that they're acquiring. Wow. That would be really, really embarrassing.
J.R. Smith is $19 million.
Gosh. So you're sending out money the other way. Who are you sending out?
Brandon Knight. He's the money dump guy for whatever big trade they need to make. Because he's apparently never playing basketball again.
Well, that's a problem.
Yeah, we don't remember that. We kind of see that as a wash because it got rid of Ryan Anderson. But the other move that was made, we don't think about it because the dude never plays. The other offseason acquisition was Brandon Knight and Marquise Chris for Ryan Anderson. So that's another move Daryl Morey made in the offseason.
I like to call him Brandon Knight's contract because I don't really think they actually
I like to call him the corpse of Brandon Knight the until corpse. He actually plays a game.
Well, is he like the Kiki QT? Is he ever going to be on the court again?
Well, he was playing in the G League, I think.
Yeah, I thought
that was he was ramping up the comeback, and maybe he's got to get a couple more games in.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't you rather have if Brandon Knight can actually be on the floor? Wouldn't you rather have him than J.R. Smith?
It literally can't get worse than what they're running out there now.
No.
So, yeah, give me Brandon Knight.
I would rather have Brandon Knight if he can actually play basketball, but if he's Kiki QT and he can't ever be on the floor, that's another thing. That's a different deal. So. No, give me Brandon Knight. Give me Brandon Knight if he can actually stand up, if he can actually walk without a walker.
To Cody's point, the Rockets are said to be shopping Brandon Knight.
So yeah. Maybe, no, they always are.
There's got to be a lot of teams dying for a guy that can't play basketball.
Well, I guess this G League run is trying to prove that, hey, look, he's healthy. We just don't have a place for him. You guys can take him.
But this is what the Rockets have done. Haven't they? This offseason, they acquired a bunch of guys that can't play. So, I mean, Marquise Chris can't even get on the floor in a 30-point game. Holy crap.
Meanwhile, you got all these other, like, Rockets also-rans who are just shuttered away for whatever deal here and there, like Montrezl Harrell destroying it off the bench. Like, you know,
don't start on Montrezl Harrell.
You know, Decker's getting solid minutes over in, I guess he's in Milwaukee now.
Didn't they move him again?
I thought he got moved to Milwaukee. I think it was in Cleveland, got moved to Milwaukee?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Something like
whatever,
that.
Whatever. Anyway, 713-780-377.
Well, he got moved again, apparently, because he's with the Wizards.
Oh, okay.
The Wiz. Right.
And this
yeah.
just happened, looks like a couple days ago.
He was. He thought he was off to the Bucks, and he got moved to the Wizards.
Yeah.
Anyway, 713-780-3776. Cody, let me ask you this question. You're new to the show. Do you use a Quip toothbrush?
I don't.
So you don't. You don't know anything about brushing your teeth.
I was sticking it in my mouth, but I was doing it wrong.
Well, here's the deal.
Seems like that was me.
That it could be you. Did you brush for two minutes this morning?
No,
probably not.
No,
no. And so now you got all the taquitos all over your breath right now, right? So here's the problem is people that don't brush long enough, that don't have a Quip toothbrush that will teach them how to brush because it pulsates when it's time for you to move off of each quadrant. Quadrants, I mean, a little lesson here. Quadrant means there are four of them. Quadrant. So one quadrant, 30 seconds. Another quadrant, 30 seconds. Another quadrant, 30. Another quadrant, 30. Done. Well, you got to brush your tongue and then spit. And then, you know, listen, if you're looking for the way that you can actually learn how to brush your teeth, it's Quip. Getquip.com/ESPN975. Great time to get one so that you can have a stocking stuffer for somebody. Something that somebody's going to use twice a day. Getquip.com/ESPN975. Getquip.com/ESPN975.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 751 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776, the number if you'd like to hang out with us. Let me ask you guys a question. Is this starting to get really... And I know they're incompetent, but it's really starting to get ridiculous now. The Bobby Wagner play last night where he jumps over the top, and it's clearly they threw a flag. Then they talked about it, and they picked up the flag when it's clearly a violation when you're using two guys to jump over and block the field goal. That's a big play. That's a huge play because if they get the first, you know, if they take away the block and they get the ball, now all of a sudden they could score. They could go up 7-6 instead. Seattle gets the ball and goes down and scores a couple of touchdowns and wins the game 21-7. So that's a big play. The San Diego Pittsburgh game, the false start, it was obvious. It was obvious that it was a false start. And San Diego goes on to win the football game when they should have had a penalty and that touchdown's taken away. The opening kickoff for the Eagles and Cowboys. No clear-cut person recovered that fumble? Really? That was your...
The pass interference in that same game. Yes. The offensive pass interference.
54 is holding the ball in... There were only Eagles on top of that pile. There was not one Cowboy player near the football, and they said no clear-cut recovery. What? I mean, is this starting to get... I'm not a conspiracy guy, but... What the heck is happening? And I know we've had bad refereeing before, but this is seeming to be worse than ever.
With gambling being legal now, you cannot have the officials be this bad. And especially if you're going to be a league that's going to eventually get in bed with gambling organizations, have official gambling sponsors and things like that, the officials cannot be that bad. You cannot have these giant swings because the officials are terrible. Like, that is just unacceptable. And then, forget the gamblers, your average fan now notices it. Yeah. Like, your average fan knows, beyond the typical, oh, the refs suck, like, no, the refs suck and the fans right now.
So, and it's not only that, but that challenge in the Army-Navy game, how long did it take, though, honestly? Was that...
I didn't see it.
Literally... 10 minutes. I mean, it was like, are you... I don't get it. And oh, by the way, one thing that we haven't mentioned yet, because the Texans could have had another timeout despite Jadeveon Clowney and him jumping off sides, but the Texans could have had another timeout. If Bill O'Brien doesn't challenge, who the hell is upstairs again telling him to throw the challenge flag when it was clear that the ball did not cross the end line?
It was not worth the risk of the timeout.
It's not worth the risk.
Here's the weird part, though, John.
Who is making these decisions that they're so terrible?
The referees, though, moved the ball forward. They respotted the ball closer to the goal line. So I don't know if there's I don't know if it's a language thing. If O'Brien said, I think he scored a touchdown, and the refs look at it and he didn't score a touchdown, say, okay, O'Brien lost, but if they move the spot forward and he still lost the time.
No, yeah.
Like, you win the timeout? Like, don't you get
not
your timeout
if it's
back?
By a quarter of an inch. Okay. It's whether or not you got the first down
It'd
or didn't,
like
whether or not you scored the touchdown.
A significant yard or something like that.
No, that is not enough to take away. Goodness gracious, though. I understand, but we all... Honestly, can't be much more frustrating, because when you're watching at home and you see, okay, well, that's an easy call, and it takes the referees 5-7 minutes to make these decisions when it's clear and obvious this incompetence is. And oh, by the way, the incompetence of whoever is upstairs for the Houston Texans.
And if you know you're going to go for it and they call it short, why not run up there and run a play real fast? Like, just run up there and just jam it in if you know you're going to go for it. You don't need all that time to come up with direct snap to Lamar Miller.
Yeah. Well, whatever the case, we'll do that quick. Whatever the case may be, that it's just, and why challenge that when you're that close. I get it. It was fourth down. You want to get that touchdown. But it was clear that he did not. They were not going to overturn that. I mean, I'm sitting in the stadium. I see it one time, and I go, no, don't challenge. He throws the challenge. I'm like, oh, my God, really? Really? You're wasting a timeout here? And, oh, by the way, a timeout that you needed because of Jadeveon Clowney. But I just don't – what is going on? What the hell is going on these days that it's the incompetence level at the referees and, by the way, the Texans upstairs? We can see it clear as day, and yet it takes forever to get these things accomplished.
I want to know what video feeds they have, because sometimes it feels like they don't have the right video angles or the right pictures, or they're not watching the TV broadcast. And I get if it's like you were on defense and the other team's rushing up to the line and you don't have a lot of time to review it, but most, CBS notwithstanding, because they're awful with replays sometimes, but most of the time the replay goes off before the quarterback's even broken the huddle for the next play. Like, you've got a chance to look at it two or three times before you get to a point where it's like, okay, clock's getting down. We got to get the play in. We got to run a play. Like, you have enough time to look at it. Do they not have the TV feed? Do they just have the TV feed? Are there not in-house cameras? Like, what are the rules for the people upstairs? Like, it doesn't make sense to me that there'd be so many. And it's not just O'Brien either. Like, a lot of people are bad. Vance Joseph's won one challenge ever. Like, a lot of these coaches are bad. And I just don't know that they have the right guy up in the box.
Well, that's it. And plus, it's a risk-reward thing, too. Don't take challenges on something that really is insignificant. If it changes the ball, whether or not it's going to be a turnover, first down and you have to punt, late in the game that's important or whatever, or the Gronk catch, not catch, that was a huge play for them. It's not my job to call timeout. Yes, it is. I mean, all of these things are adding up, and by the way, how much could you have used that timeout on Sunday that you lost?
For a team that lives in the margins with so much of their games, so many of their games play, so many close games, those timeouts are so important for the Texans.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. I think Clarence McKinney's coming. I'm not sure. He said he was going to. I don't know. But we were going to talk to the new TSU head coach here on ESPN 97.5. Hopefully he's on his way here. If not, we will try to see if we can't get him here another time to talk about his new job and college football and all the stuff. Really neat guy, and he is taking over at TSU and going to be the head coach and is the head coach there now. Probably a little bit busy, I would imagine. Coaches, can I tell you, like Jake Spavital, I called him. What did he say? 1,500 texts? 1,500 texts his first day.
I got upset when Raheel posted something on Instagram and tagged me in it, and like 8 people decided to follow me, and I got the notifications. I was pissed at that. I was like, damn it, Raheel. And he's got 1,500. I'm like,
1,500 texts from around coaches from all over that want to get to Texas State.
And you got that early recruiting season. You got to get out there recruiting.
Yeah.
Early signing day is the 19th.
Week from tomorrow.
Yeah, he's got things. Coach might have things to do.
Coach got things to do. There's no question about that. All right, let's talk about Jeff Aronoff. He's got things to do, too. What about this holiday season? How about giving it to her? Tell her, listen, for this holiday season, I'm going to give you a new countertop. Or I'm going to give you a new bathroom vanity. Or I'm going to give you, let's replace the marble on the fireplace. Let's put in an outdoor patio. Let's put in an outdoor kitchen. Because all of these things is what Jeff Aronoff does. Big jobs that, you know what, you could give this as a gift certificate. Make up a nice gift certificate. And you can give this to her and she will love it. This is what she's going to have for her holiday gift. And you know what? You kill two birds with one stone. Or no, you feed two birds with one scone. Because you get that patio that you have to have, and you don't have to buy her a present. How's that? And Jeff Aronoff will get this job done. He'll come, and he'll tell you how it's going to be, and he'll help you design the whole thing. At 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. 822. It's absolute marble and granite.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.